Okay, so Heather, so there's one last topic in Muktzah that we haven't really covered, which is because it's not exactly Muktzah, and that is called Nolad. Now let's just go slowly. On a very general level, a Muktzah item means that it is something that's set aside, meaning it's not designated for Shabbos use. Consequently, when something is Nolad, so it can't be designated for Shabbos use, because it didn't exist before Shabbos. That's the basic idea of Nolad. That something that didn't exist before Shabbos obviously can't be designated for Shabbos use. The Gemara at the beginning of Beitzah has a huge machlokas throughout Hilchos Shabbos in general. It's machlokas Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon as to whether you hold of Muktzah and whether you hold of Nolad. At first, the Gemara thinks to distinguish between Muktzah and Nolad. Then the Gemara says that no, that if you do not hold of Muktzah, you do not hold of Nolad also. If you do hold of Muktzah, you do hold of Nolad. And as a matter of halacha, we paskin that we do not hold of Muktzah. So I know what you're thinking. You're like, okay, Schwartz, you just wasted our entire couple of months over here because we've been talking about Muktzah and there's no such thing, right? That's basically your question. So the answer is that no, we deny Muktzah in the sense of Muktzah means an item that lacks designation L'shem Shabbos. The way Rav Schechter said it, like when I was in the Kollel 1,000 years ago, was that Muktzah is a chves if I have a ice cream cake that I'm saving for my kid's birthday on Sunday. So it's in my freezer, but it's not designated for Shabbos. And then somehow I decide I want to use this ice cream cake on Shabbos. So in that situation, we assume that we do not hold of Muktzah. We paskin, there's no such thing as Muktzah, meaning you do not need specific designation L'shem Shabbos. But all the things that we've been talking about until now have been stuff which is set aside, right? I know Tamar wants us to do a summary, so I have to do a summary next time, Yetzer Hashem. But those things, Gzeiras Kalim is stuff I can't use because of a whole host of reasons. And Muktzah is stuff which is set aside either because it meets no purpose or it's a Keli Shemalachto Le'iser, or it's set aside, or it's muksa machas kesarin kis. It's designated for a specific use, which I can't do on Shabbos. I won't use it for anything else. Those are things that I set aside. I push them away. So we paskin, you do not need specific designation for, but if it's pushed away, that's everything we've been talking about until now. Is that nekuda clear? So the Aruch HaShulchan begins, right? Daber Yaduah. Shibachomasakha Shabbos Nechon Kurebihuda Reb Shimon Muktzah Vinolad. Rebihuda Aser. Okay, we have just saved Judaism. We passing like Reb Shimon, there's no such thing as Muktzah. And according to the Riff and the Rambam, according to the majority of Poskim, we also paskin like Reb Shimon. And that's why the Rambam does not mention the Isra of Nolad at all on Shabbos. And the Tor in Hilchus Yontiv mentions it. Because on Yontif, we are more machmir on Muktzah than we are on Shabbos. Let's pause for a second. Okay, what we'll talk about in a minute is that, I should say, the Torah quotes like Dinam of Nolad, etc., in Hilchos Yontif, not in Hilchos Shabbos, because on Yontif, we are machmir on Nolad, not on Shabbos. Right? Rabbeinu Tam says that we don't pass like Reb Shimon. We don't pass Reb Shimon by Muktzah, not by Nolad, etc. But everyone disagrees with him, and he goes on. Mihu, right? Three lines from the end of, right? Then the Aruch HaShulchan gives you all the simanim and Shulchan Aruch that show that we do not hold of Nolad by Hilchos Shabbos. Mihu, there is a thing called Nolad Gamor. Okay, so Azoi. Nolad means something which was not really around before Shabbos, but it wasn't born on Shabbos. Right? So we'll give an example of Nolad in regular Nolad as being like the pit of my apricot. right? Or the pit of a fruit or something, right? Over there, it was there before Shabbos. It wasn't born on Shabbos, but what's it called? So that type of thing would be muktzah on a yontif, but not muktzah on Shabbos because it is a nolad she'eino gomer, right? Bones that are left over from eating. On yontif, it's going to be a problem, and you have to figure out whether it's permitted and if it's and how to get the bones off your plate. On Shabbos, it is not a problem because it was designated beforehand. Now, Tosfos in Beitza on Daf Beis also mentions the same distinction between, remember, Nolad, we paskin, is mutter, because according to Reb Shimon, who does not hold of Nolad, the maskana in the Gemara is that we do not hold of Mukta, we do not hold of Nolad, according to Reb Shimon, against the Rabbeinu Tam, who distinguishes. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan pointed out. So Tosfos has a conversation about water, rain. Is rain on Shabbos muktzah? Now, the Tosfos says that this depends on a Gemara in Erevin, that the Gemara speaks about the Maya be'ivli. Maya be'iva, meaning when you have water in the clouds, is that water completely absorbed in the cloud, right, or not, right? Meaning, do I look at a cloud like there are water drops there, and therefore when it begins to rain, it's not that the water is created, the water was there beforehand, or do I say that no, the cloud is not a bunch of drops of, is not a bunch of drops of water. So that's a discussion in the Gemara in Erevin. Tosfos writes that the rain water would be a problem on Shabbos because it is real, complete nolad, etc. Right? That's the last line in Tosfos. That rain would be a problem because it is afilu Reb Shimon Moda, even Reb Shimon who denies Muktzah would be Moda that the rain that comes down on Shabbos is considered Nolad because the water was not at all Ba'olam. That's what Tosfos writes in Beitza Daf Beis. However, we do not paskin like that opinion in the Tosfos. We don't paskin like that opinion in the Gemara. We paskin that the clouds have drops of water in them. A cloud is not absorbed water. I need better terminology for this. Is a cloud absorbed water? Is a cloud accumulation of drops of water? Someone has to give me some language for this distinction. But the point is, we do not paskin that Maya be'iba mivla bli. We do not paskin that the water is absorbed in the cloud. Right? The end of Tai says, Kevan de bli'i lo haya ba'olam klal. Something that was not in the world at all, that's called Nolad Gomor. And Nolad Gomor, even Reb Shimon is Moda to. The only thing is that I do not paskin that the water in the clouds are absorbed. I paskin the cloud is accumulated water. How do I know I paskin this way? Look at the source in Hilchos Shabbos. Shin lam l'chaseh ifches. Mutter liten kli tachas hadalaf b'Shabbos. V'im nismale shofcho. U'machzir olam komo. V'ushe hadalaf ro'oi l'rchitza. Avom eno ro'oi aser mishum she'en osin graf shari'i l'chatchila. Okay, who wants to explain this line in the Shulchan Aruch to me? And you could look at the Mishnah Berurah, who kind of gives some explanation to what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. So again, Shulchan Aruch says I could put a kli under A drip of water. I learn often Shabbos mornings in the Breuer's Beis Medrash. The Breuer's Beis Medrash has a huge leak in the roof, so there are big garbage cans in the middle of the Breuer's Beis Medrash to collect all the water that gets there. I think this is one of the reasons why Breuer sent out a letter a couple of weeks ago that the Kehillah really needs money. But it says in Shulchan Aruch that you could put the kli under the water, providing the water is usable. Either the water is usable to drink, or Shulchan Aruch says even if the water is usable to wash with, that's considered usable water, and therefore you can put the kli under the water. That means the kli, the water, is not mukta. If the water would be, and Shulchan Aruch says if the kli becomes full, you pour it out. That means it's not mukta. The rainwater that comes down is not mukta on Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah says that explicitly. Ain al hamatar hayored shame mukta o nolad, because you could drink it, you could bathe in it. Even if it's ro'oi only for an animal to drink it, it is considered okay. So, is snow mukta on Shabbos? Right, let's say there's a snowstorm. Are you allowed to shovel the snow on Shabbos or put out salt to make sure that the snow does not become ice? Now, I am talking about a community that has an Erev. Okay? That's given. Community has an Erev. Am I allowed to shovel my snow on Shabbos?
I've always heard no.
Again?
I've always heard no.
You've always heard no, right? So you grew up thinking no. And that might be correct. Look in with Moshe.
He thinks that snow is different than rain. The rain might not be a problem, but snow is.
So snow, even though we paskin rain is not a problem, snow would be a problem. The water in the clouds are what? The rain is assumed to be like drops in the clouds. Snow is an entirely new thing that's born on the Shabbos. So therefore, the snow is going to be a problem, Rav Moshe says. Snow is muktzah. In the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he paskins that the snow is not mukta, that just like rain is not mukta on Shabbos, snow is not mukta on Shabbos. Now, if the snow is mukta, there's not much I could do about it. If the snow, or we'll say it like this, even if it is mukta, so if there is a situation that lots of people could get injured, it's hezek derabim. So then obviously there's no issur of total muktzah on something that is hezek derabim. Like people will get injured from it, so there's no total muktzah in that case. People are gonna get hurt. Right? The Gemara, that's what we spoke about in the case of like a glass breaks. I don't have to worry about muktzah because people might get hurt. Right, even though it's very few people around, certainly when there's a lot of people, you could get hurt. No issur of total muktzah in that case. That's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem. The Gemara says beferish, so there's no total muktzah when it might get hurt. Now, let's say though, no one's going to get hurt. In other words, I'm not talking about the sidewalk. I'm talking about my own house. So, can I shovel? So if it's not mukta and there's an eruv, the pashtus is that you can, but this though brings us to a large issue called what's considered tircha on Shabbos. And under which circumstances am I mekel on tircha? Yes, Sarah?
I guess this isn't a mukta issue because you're not moving it, but what about salting, like ice or something that's on
But
that?
he's talking about salting.
That'll melt the
Right,
ice.
so So is thwarting going to be a problem, right? That's your question. So I think the answer that in the Shmir Shabbos, the Shmir Shabbos says that in his opinion, salting is going to be permitted in these cases. And that's because Lamaisa, what are you doing? You're taking something which is now a solid, and you're making it into a liquid. Now there is an Isser in Hilchos Shabbos that we spoke about. I don't remember if we spoke about this, called moled, which is different than nolad. Right? Moled means like, can I take the congealed fat, which is not subject to bishul, and put it, what's it called? And put it near the fire, and it's going to change from solid to liquid. So we paskin that Ashkenazim are machmir that there is moled on Shabbos, but moled is only if it happens right away. I'm allowed to put ice cubes in a cup because it takes a while for it to dissolve, no? The salt on the ice, does it take a while to change it from ice to water? I think it does. So I think that would not be considered moled. I am doing it biyadayim on some level. The Gemara says that borod. That means like if I'm lumping it down. Over here, I'm not banging on it. I'm like throwing salt out. So the pashtus is that salting is mutter, certainly in the case that people might get hurt, the salting is going to be the salting is going to be mutter. So I think that what emerges from the conversation, so snow, again to Chazar, if Moshe Feinstein's position is that the snow is mukta on Shabbos, according to Rav Moshe, my only heter is going to be if people in Mamish get hurt, and then they have a heter of moving mukta litzorech hezek. If you hold that snow is not mukta, so then moving the snow is not a problem, right? There might be another issue of tircha, right? And then I have to balance what is tircha, what is not tircha, etc. So once again, this brings us back to what they taught us in terms of that shoveling snow on Shabbos is a problem. It's hard to really assume. It's
But they
hard
say
to assume
that.
that's a problem. Let me
Yeah,
just finish up. But
so.
if it's snow that is completely yucky, if the snow fell yesterday or the snow is, then it could be mamish muktzah. That's like what we saw about the water that drips down. So fresh snow could be less of an issue than the snow that became blackened from like 2 weeks ago, etc. Yeah, you had a comment? Sarah?
Yeah, so if you think that snow is not mukta and the only issue is teardrops, would you be able to play in the snow? Like
Yeah,
kids
I
playing,
could play in snow, but can they make a snowball? Right? So can they make a snowball? So most understand that the malacha of bona is I take disparate items and I bring it together to become a single unit. The pashtus is that making a snowball would be bona. The only thing is it's like a very temporary bona. Because the yisod of a snowball is to throw it at your former friend and have the snowball break apart. So there's a discussion in the poskim about whether a snowball is mutter in the sense of it's a very temporary sort of bona. But mitzad, the iser of bona, a snowball could be bona. This is unlike making ice cubes on Shabbos. Ice cubes, I'm not taking disparate items and I am making it into one unified thing. I'm not taking little snowflakes and putting it together, right? All the water is the same. I'm just making the water go from soft to hard. So it might be an issue of moled if it happens right away, but it takes a while. So bepashtus is making ice is going to be okay on Shabbos. There is a tshuva in the Dovid Meisharim where he says that making ice on Shabbos is a melacha of bona. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Soloveitchik in the Nefesh Harav says that he doesn't understand why it would be an Isser of Boneh. The Poskim say that, you know what, you should try and have your ice made before Shabbos. Okay. But if you didn't, and it's Letzorech guests or whatever, if you really need the ice, you're allowed to make ice on Shabbos. Making a snowball is more of a problem than making ice because making a snowball is the same as like building Lego. Right? You're taking disparate things, you're putting it together. And then there's a shaila of if I take disparate things and put it together, almanas, it's going to be broken apart soon after. Right? So that's a Lego shaila. Right? So snowballs are like Lego. That's the chiddush of today. Any other questions, comments, observations about snow, ice? Again, I think it's hard to say min hasvara what Rav Moshe says, that snow and ice are different in the clouds. Like, I don't understand the whole Gemara about like the status of water in the clouds, and it's hard to distinguish to my mind between ice and snow. Sorry, you had a comment?
Yeah, why do people make sure to put in ice after they put water in their cup? Something
Yeah,
is that necessary?
so that's the issue that we spoke about in Hilchos Bishul in terms of Ashkenazim or Machmir on Ashkenazim or Machmir on Moled. Now, what does that mean? So some assume what that means is that if it's Nikar, it's going to be a problem. So if I put the ice in the cup beforehand, it's going to be Nikar that it comes out, and on a certain level, some of it begins to come out right away. You see, when I put salt on the snow, I think whatever of the snow becomes liquefied gets absorbed into the rest of the snow immediately. So if I put my ice cubes in the cup that has my Coca-Cola, so whatever ice becomes water is immediately absorbed into the Coke and it's never noticeable. If I put my ice cube in first, so it could be it's noticeable, and that would be why there is an issue of Moled. What's his name? Rav Rimon in his Sefer writes that if you're an Ashkenazi and you want to heat up chicken that has congealed fat on it, so there's an issue of Moled, of changing the fat from solid to liquid. But if you put rice around it and it gets absorbed in it right away, so then that's not going to be a problem because it's not at all nicker ever. So I think the salting is more akin to the chicken with gravy into the rice, etc., or the cup of Coke with the, what's it called, in it, with the ice that goes in it, because it's not at all nicker. These are some of my thoughts on today's segment in Judaism. Okay, Chevra, wonderful. You should have a great Shabbos. Thank you for coming to learn. Yeah, question.
I have a question, but it's about the Chaburah, so I don't know if it should be on this recording.
Okay.